What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, successors? Welcome to Speak Your Success in the Morning. Today is Tuesday, January 20th, 2026, and we're so glad that you all could be with us. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones, and y'all, you're in for a great show today. But y'all know we can't get this ship sailing, we can't get this thing moving and grooving until we bring out our co-host. So come on out, producer Britt, talk to the people. How you feeling
this
morning?
What's up? Happy Tuesday, y'all.
Happy Tuesday.
How you doing?
I'm good. We here. I feel like I slept all right last night. Slept all right.
Me too, Jonathan. I got some good sleep.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Good sleep. Come on. Health recharge sleep. And everything
know,
like that.
Right? Hey, talk to me. That day off. Thank you, Dr. Hey. Martin Luther King.
Okay. R.I.P. Yeah. Respectfully.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
R.I.P. Yeah. What happened? Yeah.
So last night we had it was like this. My wife cooked up like this seasoned chicken situation. And then, you know, we had some sweet potatoes on the plate and then also some Brussels sprouts, which she added a little bit of honey, a little bit of red pepper flakes. It was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it was nice. Good to me. It was good to me last night. What'd you get down with last night for dinner?
I hung out with my mom yesterday and she'd never had ramen before.
Put mom on game.
So we went to go get ramen and she likes the broth, you know, just like me. So.
Like mother, like daughter. Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Uh-huh. Fair enough. Yeah. So, what happened this weekend? What happened? So this weekend in sports. Many
well,
people.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Turn the clock back one day. Not to the weekend just yet. But yesterday, Indiana. The Indiana Hoosiers, okay? We know them for basketball, but they're saying we're here now for football also. They defeated the Miami Hurricanes 27-21. Britt, this was the first time that Indiana Hoosiers football won a national championship.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing.
Wow, that's what I mean. The quarterback, brother Mendoza, Fernando Mendoza, was MVP of the game. Mm-hmm. And Kurt Cignetti, have you been seeing some of the clips from mm-hmm. him? The mm-hmm. coach mm-hmm. always looks serious. Mm-hmm. He like, why you never smile? He like, oh, wow. Nah, I'm just locked in. I'm locked in. But
Kobe Bryant, job ain't done yet.
Hey, but job ain't finished yet. Should I be happy? I don't got nothing to be happy about. I ain't got my check yet. Should I be happy? Nah, not yet. Job not finished. 16-0, a perfect season. And this was something that hasn't happened since 1894 with the Yale Bulldogs. So,
Amen. With the Bulldogs?
Yale Bulldogs. That's that. Yeah. 1894. Okay. Yeah. And last thing I want to say about Coach Cignetti. So he said to have turned around one of the losingest programs. And if you see some of these interviews from him, Britt, where you just like, he's like, Google me, da da da. We do the work. I'm about this. I'm about that. Mm-hmm. Nah, we win. Next question. I'm like, oh, real deal. So man, shout out to him. Shout out to Indiana, because you know, just turning around a ship like that, and man, just upsetting the nation is crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to all the people that put those parlays in and. Won and lost.
Ooh.
I saw a guy on social media that he put up his food truck. It was like $37,000. And he thought that, well, he put everything on Miami.
Ooh.
I don't know if it was real or not, but.
Ooh. Boy, out of a job and out of some bread. No pun intended.
Putting your life on a line. I mean, putting your life. That's your life. Yeah.
livelihood right there. Man.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is a lot. Man, so also in sports, so as we've seen this weekend, we know a couple years ago, Dez Bryant, was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Britt, we had some controversy this weekend. Okay.
Are we still talking about this?
No. There's method to the madness. Okay. So not only in the Bears and Rams game, but also in the other game, God, I just thought the Broncos were going against the Bills. Britt, we had two other situations.
I saw that catch. That was a catch. He was down.
Was he down?
He was down. I was
you
sitting
sure?
around.
Talk to me. Why was he down?
His knee was down.
Okay.
That's what I kept hearing. That's where all the all the camaraderie around me. Everybody's like, his knee was down. He ain't gonna challenge. His knee was down. His knee was down. So what you got?
Producer Britt says his knee was down. I did some research. The ref said, well, yes, his knee was down, but he didn't complete the football play. So therefore, the cornerback having the ability to, you know, take the ball away.
But his knee was down before he took the ball.
But they were still in action. So look, so on, so here, here's the part where it's wild. So on one of the plays, they call, yeah, it was a catch, not an interception. But then the next day, they called it an interception and not a catch. And the next day, that was what game was this? That was when it was the Rams and the Bears. People mad.
I didn't see the Rams and the Bears.
It was literally the same exact play. But it was called the opposite way. And then the Rams ended up winning. The Bears mad. So anyway, Los Angeles Rams, they defeated the Bears. So now they moving on. Who else we got? And then we got the Patriots defeating the Texans. Mm-hmm. And people just mad. CJ Stroud throwing all them interceptions. Roland Martin firing him up. Talking about get him out of there. Mm-hmm. His head not in the game. So Roland Martin,
let me see you out. Go out there and throw some footballs.
Roland Martin really might get on the line. They get too into it.
You know, not out there. Like,
this is true.
They're not out there.
Roland Martin, you weren't out there playing for Ohio State like CJ Stroud. Roland Martin, you weren't out there at NFL Draft Combine. So I mean, it's tough. It is tough to coach from the sidelines. But now, you know, moving on, we got the Patriots and the Broncos and the Rams and the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So that's who's left in the running for Super Bowl 60. Okay. Super Bowl. Who you think gonna make it happen, Britt, in Super Bowl? Who you got going?
I'm not a football girl.
I'm gonna get you to pick a team one of these times.
Who do you think? I don't know.
The Patriots just always find a way.
Tom Brady. So I don't know if they're gonna find a way all the way there. You know.
I mean, but the Broncos quarterback is out now. A lot of stuff is shaking up. Real, real, real quick, I'll hit on a couple of these basketball scores. So the Mavericks, Mavs 138 to 120 over the Jazz. Okay, Klay Thompson 23 off the bench. Boston.
Speaking of Klay Thompson, he has 17,000 points now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I forget where he's ranked, but he has 17,000 points.
That's a lot of
go
points.
Go Klay and Megan. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's just go Klay. That's crazy. She wasn't shooting with him in the gym.
She wasn't.
Nah, she might have been twerking on him in the gym. But Detroit. Then we got Boston and Atlanta, 132 to 106. So Atlanta, hey, piece it together, man. Trae Young's gone. Piece together. The Pistons, 121 over Indiana, 78. Now that's a whooping. That's an old school whooping right there. Yeah.
I feel like playing. Okay.
Nah, y'all didn't show up at all. Like, yeah, y'all still on the bus. It's cool. The Warriors then power past the Hornets, 136 to 116. Britt, these high scoring games.
This always happens, though. Right after watch, because we got All-Star game coming up soon, All-Star weekend. And right after All-Star weekend, the score is going to be looking regular because that's when everybody gets serious.
Well, they need to look regular real soon, okay? Real
you soon. Do not like high-scoring games.
Because it gives me the All-Star game. When I even look up and see the All-Star game.
You got to stay healthy.
That's fine. But
to be doing all that.
Mm-mm-mm. You can stay healthy without doing all that.
Jimmy Butler just tore his ACL. I mean, he's out for the rest of the season.
I hate to see that for Jimmy. I want him to win a championship so bad. Like, he's one of them people, like, you just want to win a championship for him. Just like AI. Like, you want to win one and just give it to him. Because just his heart and soul just be in the game. But
no, I don't feel that way. Keep going.
Oh, that's wow. We're gonna skip past. I just want to hit on the Premier Soccer League. Manchester United beat Manchester City 2-0. Okay. Just wanted to share that with the people for our soccer fans out there, you know, for our soccer fans. And then also Everton earned their first 1-0 win at Aston Villa for their first victory since 2016. Okay.
It's 2026. So, you know, FIFA is here. FIFA World Cup is coming. So
right around the corner.
All the soccer, you're going to be heavy on soccer in a minute. Yeah. It's coming. Mm-hmm.
Soccer's here, man. So yeah. Hey, you know, when I was a kid, did you play soccer as a kid?
Nah.
Oh, what was your first sport as a kid though? When you was growing up?
Volleyball, basketball, and track.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So far. Okay. Cool. Yeah. For me, yeah. Yeah. Soccer. I was out there getting my Pele on.
I never did soccer. Oh, it's too much running. I can't.
Too much running? Basketball isn't too much running?
Soccer's like, first of all, the fields are different. You're outside. You got shin guards on. You're running. Yeah, you're passing. Anybody can just steal the ball. And then you're going the other way. And then you got to go back the other way. And then somebody take it. Somebody flag. You run into somebody. And then you go the other way. Like, there's no stops. There's no stops unless the ball go out of bounds. Unless something happens. So. Like, there's no stops. Basketball, yeah, we can stop.
Girl, Brittany said, I'm tired. Let me foul you real quick.
That's why I never, like, my neighbor growing up, her whole family, like, they were soccer players. But I was like, nah, girl, I can't get into the soccer. That is not.
Soccer shape is different. Soccer shape, I'm not going to lie to you. When I watch, like, I turn on the soccer game and I watch the clock and I'm like, why is the clock going up? Like, what are y'all doing right now?
They're playing.
And the fields just look massive. I mean, as a kid, you know, I played with the smaller field. But, when you start getting high school, middle, that field is a field.
Yeah, the ones are big.
That field is so wide and so long. I'm like, nah, this ain't.
And then on top of that, they said soccer, you can't use your hands.
Oh, no.
I'll probably pick the ball up one day. I don't know. I'll be scared.
Them feet, though. They'd be out there. Because, you know, when they kick the ball and they be running up the field, they call it dribbling. Yeah. Them feet be moving, though. People are getting fancy with them feet.
No, they really do.
They be fancy.
Okay, well, thank you so much for that, Jonathan. What you got next? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I'm about to roll into straight from the source. And today, this one's really a challenge. This one's a challenge for men, really. It's a little bit of self-reflection for women, but it's more so a challenge for men. And I want us to go ahead, just go ahead and roll the clip, Brit, and then we'll get into it. We'll get into it today.
The greatest thing that you can do as a husband is be the spiritual leader of your house. Ladies, would you agree? Like, you want him to lead spiritually more than you want his money. Am I right? You know, and a lot of guys are out there, well, I'm the provider and I make six figures and I make seven figures, but do you have a prayer life? If you were to ask the average wife, she would rather you have a prayer life than anything else.
Absolutely.
Man of God, put God first.
Yes.
And everything the Bible tells you to do, just do it. Be a tither, get involved in church, get involved in small groups, study the Bible every day, and just grow. And as you grow in Jesus, you will see everything in your life begin to transform as well. The greatest thing that you can do as a husband is be the spiritual leader.
Okay. So the challenge has been put out. The challenge has been put out about men and what we're called to, especially if we are husbands or if we desire to be husbands, right? And there's a verse that comes to mind that I want to really unpack now. And it's in the book of Ephesians. If Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, and then we'll roll down into it to verse 27. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave up himself for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, and he might present himself to the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. John, why is this relevant? Why are you bringing this up? What's the point of this text? Well, for husbands, this is a call to be selfless and also to operate in sacrificial love, right? Because being a husband, you must love your wife. Like the text says, like Christ loved the church. And what does that look like? Putting her first. Having love that's patient, having love that's kind, that's humble, and not self-seeking. But ultimately, in order to do these things, it causes us to doubt ourselves a little bit, right? And looking like that, then we often reference leading like Christ, and we see that Christ loved his church, right? And we're considered Christ's bride. What does that even look like? Christ died for his church. So in tangible application for the men in the room and tapping in and listening, you have to die to yourself so that ultimately your wife can ultimately be led, be cultivated. For instance, in real time, what it looks like is there's a lot of times that I want to do what I want to selfishly do. I want to have my time and I want to be working on my business, or I want to have my time and I want to do things that I just naturally enjoy, which is fine to have those desires. But when I became married, not only does the Bible say the two become one, but I'm called to now lead my wife to Christ. And knowing that, that means that sometimes that I want to work on my business and do other things, me and her should probably be using some of this time for us to be having a Bible study together, right? Instead of me only praying for myself and me only praying soloed and individual, well, it should look like sometimes me praying with my wife, right? And this is sacrificial because my flesh and my desires say, John, no, let's do this over here. This is going to further your business. This is going to further you. This is going to do the things that you enjoy, but then it's also going to, it could potentially put a wedge between the relationship that I have with my wife. Because why? Because the thing that you ultimately nurture the most, if it's my business, if it's for me, then that's going to take away from nurturing of the we. So knowing and understanding this, right, that we're called to not only lead our house, just like it says in the book of, I believe it's Joshua, says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How can we expect our house to serve the Lord if we never lead our house to the Lord, right? How can we expect us to know, be, and to have if we never show our family what it looks like to be a man of faith, what it looks like to be a house of faith, what it looks like to pray together, what it looks like for us to do Bible study together? Even there's sometimes where my son, I tuck him into bed and I try to dip out. And he's like, Dad, can you read me a Bible story? And I'm like, ooh, but it's my time. But if I wash the dishes and I finish cleaning up the house a little bit, then I got more time to work on my business, do what I want to do. But at the end of the day, when I became a father, when I became a husband, when I ultimately became a man, the Bible says, I put away childish things. And those childish things are childish behaviors. Those childish things are childish habits. Those childish things look like me ultimately doing what I need to do for my family above doing it for myself. So husbands out there, potential husbands, I'm talking to you all just like I'm talking to myself. If we desire to be that individual, the husband, the provider, the protector, the pastor of the home, then we have to do the work that comes with it. We can't only get the benefits, and then from that point, we don't also do the work that's required. Today, my brother, I love you dearly, and I want you to know that it can be hard being the spiritual leader. It can be hard doing these things and making sure to see that these things get done. But ultimately, when the clock runs out, and when our time is done here on earth, and when God looks at you, when he calls you up and he looks at you in the face, will he say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm well pleased for the way that you led your house and for the way that you led your family. Or will he say, get away from me because I don't know you. Family, that's been straight from the source. Once again, today our text came from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We went from verse 25 through 27. But remember, as you're loving your family, sometimes it's going to be sacrificial. Sometimes it's not always going to feel good. But also remember that in the end, when the scores are tallied up and when it all matters, you just want God to look at you and say, I am well pleased. Now we're going to go ahead and transition. We're going to go ahead and bring back Producer Britt.
What's up? What's up?
What's up with it, Producer Britt? What's up with it? What's up with it?
Eating these crackers. I love these things.
What kind of crackers you got over there?
The Belvita.
Man, say, I don't know when Belvita came out. I just know I can't do without it. You understand me?
Hey, blueberry and cinnamon. Okay.
Say, blueberry, cinnamon, chocolate, I'm eating them all.
I can't do the chocolate, but this right here, they need to put these on the plane. We don't need to piss off. I need this on the plane.
Ooh, okay. Belvita over Biscoff? Belvita over Biscoff? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to start a riot now.
Ooh. What y'all want these on a plane? Y'all want Biscoff? Because I'm okay with these on a plane, especially a good morning flight. That's all I need right here. And a cup of
coffee. That's a good call. That's a good call. But yeah, you can't give me the little two crackers you give me the Biscoff. I need all four.
I need all four.
Yeah, all four. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big boy, big girl status. Yeah, all four.
They can afford it. They can afford it.
We're grown.
Yeah. Okay, good word, Jonathan. All right, y'all. So just a little bit of news. Okay, so we know it's award season. We love that. Okay, so Ryan Coogler Sinners has been everywhere. So the 2026 Actor Academy, the SAG Awards, Sinners has had 5 nominations, okay, including Best Ensemble Cast and Best Actor, a nominations for Michael B. Jordan, of course, for the dual role of playing Smoke and Stack, okay? Mm-hmm. Right now, that movie is actually number 8 on Amazon. So the film also earned nominations for Supporting Actor Miles Canton and also the Supporting Actress. I don't want to botch her name, so I will not say it. The 2026 Screen Actor Awards nominees are in, and the Sinners leads, like I said, but Cynthia Erivo, you know, who played in Wicked, she got snubbed. She got snubbed for nominations, and, you know, everybody thought that she would be recognized for singing all those high notes, but she was not. And I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but apparently, you know, she wasn't nominated. Also, what is that?
I wonder how much of that, like that weird stuff with her and Ariana Grande had to do with her being snubbed. Maybe it did. Maybe you seen them clips, right? You didn't see them clips where like her and Ariana Grande would be doing the interviews, and then like they would like look at each other, and then she would like reach across and like straighten her hair. Or it was just like some weird stuff. It was like, what is going on?
I don't know. They said that they were friends, good friends, whatever.
Yeah, real good friends. Okay. Yeah.
I don't even think like that. No.
No, I'm not saying like that. I'm saying that,
but when you clip this, they gonna get you. So you can't say stuff like that. You don't know when the clip gonna end. Okay, so singer and actress Ariana Grande, just like you said, she received a nomination for her supporting role in Wicked for Good, while Teyana Taylor is on a roll right now, earned a supporting actress nomination for One Battle After Another. Also, Jonathan, I don't know if you know, but moving right along from the awards, but rapper Fetty Wap, he has been released from prison earlier this, he was like, it was really like last week, and now he's under home confinement after originally being sentenced to 6 years for a cocaine conspiracy.
So, oh, no.
Welcome home, brother. Welcome home. Welcome home. Put the drugs down. Welcome home.
Oh.
yes, and a little bit of entertainment. Jill Scott said that every day, she said literally every day, people come up to her about her character and Why Did I Get Married, Sheila, and they just relate to her her role all the time. And so she said, you know, reflecting and lasting impact of her performances and her roles have, you know, just been very cool, and love that people are inspired by the role and the character. So
that's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Also, her and Angie Martinez just did an interview together. I will put that on my list to watch because Jill Scott has a new album coming out, and you know, I feel like younger Britney. You know, I was listening to Jill Scott, but I didn't know what she was talking about.
You weren't feeling Jill Scott.
I was like, you know, I like the tunes, but I don't know what she was saying, you know, because I'm not there yet in life. Uh-huh. But I'm there in life now.
Oh, you're grown now. You know, okay, you're grown.
Yeah, so I'm trying to listen to what Jill Scott got to say. Okay? I'm excited for the album. Okay, also the 2026 NAACP Image Awards have unveiled their nominations as well. Continuing we got film, TV, music, and culture. They did not give me the nominations. But also, do you remember Amanda Gorman?
Okay, talk to me.
Do you know who Amanda Gorman is?
The name sounds familiar. I'm not getting the face right now in my head.
She is the 27-year-old poet and activist.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about.
Yes. So, funny story about Amanda Gorman. So, she was doing something for the White House, and it was either White House a long time ago. Yes, for Biden. Yes. And so, I believe Oprah wanted to gift her like something within Prada, and she was like, "Oprah, I already got a dress." So, you know, that was just funny. I thought that was cute. Okay, on to a little bit of serious news. I haven't really dove into it, so, you know, don't eat me alive too much, y'all. But the ICE tent, they are in Minnesota, and Minnesota is hurting right now when it comes to the ICE deportation situation. I'd like to gather more information before I say all of this, but all I know is that, you know, prayers go out to Minnesota right now because they are dealing with a lot when it comes to the ICE deportation situation. And also Denton County. I saw a video of WFAA, one of the reporters, and she reported that Denton County ICE officers are going to be in Denton County, and on top of that, they will be allowed to basically pull people out their cars. And
That suspect is crazy.
It's a slippery slope. Someone in charge of Denton County said that, you know, I think a police chief, he said, you know, no, we're not doing that. You know, if it does not, if it's not what it's supposed to be, then we're going to, you know, cancel the agreement that they have with the ICE. ICE agents.
ICE agents.
Yeah. So, pretty, you know, just pretty hard, and it's sad. I would say hard and tough news, but it's sad to see that it is growing and it's getting closer to home, actually. So,
yeah, damn. Right up the road.
Honestly. Okay. So, Jonathan, I saw a clip on TikTok, but I couldn't download the clip, so I'll just have to tell you about it. So today, I know we, you know, in our meeting yesterday, we're going to talk about the difference between screen time and, well, screen time impacting children, particularly Gen Z.
Yeah.
So let me scroll up here to my notes real quick.
Can we get much higher?
So what's your thoughts on screen time? Because you have two kids. So.
Yeah. I've seen in a short, like in a short stint, right? I've seen after I allow my show to watch, I allow my son, my oldest son, to watch a show. And then after we turn off the TV, then he gets ready to lose it. Like he's throwing a fit and everything. And after seeing that, I'm like, oh, no. You can't be sitting here watching TV like that. Me and Gabby, we're very, very cautious of how much screen time we give him. Mm-hmm. And we make sure that we balance it out with him going outside, him playing with his toys, him reading books because Britt, the way these kids looking now, it's like right here. Every time I see somebody right here, phone or something right here.
I know. It's crazy. So, So there was last week on C-SPAN, there was a Senate committee held and they were talking about the screen time crisis, what's really happening to our kids. So just the basic stats. So according to expert testimony at the hearing, kids are spending between 5 to 8 hours a day on screen. Wow. So 5 to 8 hours every single day on screens, okay? Mm. So the context of the scale. So to put that in perspective, there's more kids spending more time sleeping than – yeah. Did I say that right? Yeah, there's more time That's more time than kids sleeping. It's definitely more time they spend in school, which is crazy. And then on top of that, what counts as screens, which is something else that they talked about at the hearing. So it goes from smartphones, tablets, laptops, gaming consoles, TVs. Yep. It's everything. Okay. So historically, there was a neuroscientist there, so he was a teacher, and he turned into a cognitive neuroscientist that studies human learning, okay? There's a job for everybody, okay?
That's serious.
So his name is Dr. Jared Horvath. Testified that Gen Z, Generation Gen Z, kids born roughly between 1997 and 2012, is the first generation to underperform across every cognitive measure compared to previous generations. So like you and I, Jonathan. So unpacking what is every cognitive measure that, you know, that they're measuring right now. So we're talking about the attention span. We're talking about memory. We're talking about problem solving. Reading comprehension and critical thinking. Cool. Well, not cool, but a fact that he said in the hearing is that when we took the SAT, when we took the SAT, we had for reading comprehension, there was a short story paragraph, whatever, you know, what we're used to. And then you answer a series of questions about that passage. Whereas now the SAT, it is a sentence and a question for reading comprehension. And so what Dr. Jared Horvath was saying is that it's no longer reading comprehension. It's just skimming.
That makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And then on top of that, instead of us dialing back when it came to, and also the whole point of what's wrong with our children, screens, things like that. It's because we have technology in the classrooms now. So that's what the big talk is going to be about today, guys. And so instead of us saying, hey, our kids can't read, let's take some of the digital technology out of school. It's more of, like he said, you know, it's more of a surrender because we're not doing anything to fix the problem. We're just saying, okay, well, they can't read, they got to pass. So we're going to surrender to the fact that this is all that they can do because, I mean, we got to get these kids to the next level. Even when they do go to the next level, they're not even prepped for that, Jonathan. So I'll just take a little breather right there and I'll kick it to you. And I just want to, you know, everything that I said. And then on top of that, what are some benefits that you feel that technology goes into school, Gen Z, what have you?
Yeah. Well, I'll get into the benefits, but just, I want to address what you just said. Mm-hmm. Like if we're pushing students through and passing students who are showing that they don't have the level of education required, then that's ultimately going to lower the standard for the type of job candidate they're going to get and lower the standard for everything across the board. Wow, the whole country is going to become dumber. No pun intended.
If we're consistently
lowering the standard, but what I will say on the other side, though, yes, that they could be lowering the standard around traditional education and the way that we were educated, right, in other generations. But at the same time, I also feel that, you know, with AI and also with some of the screen time, that there also is the level for like adaptive learning, right? So with AI tools, you know, you can search specifically what you're trying to take away or, you know, what you're trying to learn. How do I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? You know, some people say put the peanut butter on first. Some people say put the jelly, whatever. But either way, now they're getting that information customized into where you get to learn exactly what you want to learn, as opposed to us sitting in history class, reading history books, learning all this information, and some of it's not even going to be on the test. So why is it even relevant to a certain extent? So, you know, there's that. But even some other ways that I think technology is beneficial is that – some of those tasks that teachers were doing, right? Here's the assignment. Y'all do the assignment, give it back to me, then I'm gonna go through and grade it. Well, they don't have to teach like that now. So now teachers, with utilizing technology, they can use it to their benefit. Okay, so I want y'all to not write a paper, but I want y'all to write a paragraph, and you can utilize AI, right? You can utilize Claude, you can use ChatGPT, you can use Google Gemini. And not only can you use these, but by using this, now your paper is going to have to be stronger, because I'm not just going to give you the layup grade or the layup score just because you did the assignment. Now you're going to have to show me a little bit more detail, a little bit more depth, since you can kind of use, you know, a cheat code of sorts. So, you know, those would be some of the things that I just say.
So have you heard of this, like, AI companion? Have you heard of that?
Go ahead. Talk more about it.
Okay. So the AI, it's like AI chat box, but one of them is like AI companion. So with the AI companion, it's when kids can pretty much build a relationship with the AI. And it's like their feelings. And so the AI will give the kids responses in, emotional responses. And so it builds a connection with the child. And I think that's so bad.
What? I mean, I would say the benefit is that it's bringing emotions and bringing language around what they might be feeling, helping them identify. The downside,
you can do that with people.
But the downside of that is also that we need to see those feelings applied in real time, not just you talking to iRobot. We need to see you over here actually doing the things, because that's kind of like somebody telling you, oh, put your feet outside in the grass and it feels like this, right? You can hear what they're saying. You can understand what they're saying, but you going out and putting your feet in the grass and actually getting that sensory feeling is necessary. And this is something that we need. I mean, we can't lose the connection with AI and the connection with digital education is great, but at the same time, we still can't lose the other side. Like, we need people, we need interaction, we need relationships. So that's mandatory.
Yeah. Okay, so in the same Senate hearing, so the counter argument was, you know, not everyone agrees that screens are purely harmful, and there are legitimate educational uses for technology and screens, research, learning platforms, creative tools, and communication. So exactly what you were saying. And then there's quality over quantity. So the key question becomes, what kind of screen? A kid can use a tablet to learn coding is different from a kid mindlessly just scrolling short form videos for hours and hours and hours. And I am guilty of that, because I could come home and I could just sit there and I will just scroll myself probably into a nap. I really will, because I'm like, I guess I'd be like, Shay sent me so many videos, or my sister sent me videos, or whoever to send me videos. So it's like, you're trying to catch up, because it is another way of communicating. Yes, if you can handle it, you can handle it. And I feel like I am a person, I can handle it, because it's like, okay, this is kind of how I decompress when I get home. It's either a TV show or it's a little bit of scrolling. And then I got to move on to what I got to move on to. But,
I want to chime in, but you said you can handle it, right? You're in your 30s now, and we're talking about this next generation who could be anywhere from, you know, whatever age to maybe not even 18 yet. So like you brought up on the show a couple times, right? Everybody's brain isn't fully developed. And if they're going, like, they might not know to, I can go here and I can use this to decompress, but then when I wake up, I still have a to-do list, or I still have some other items that I'm going to attack, right? You have a plan to get things still done, you know?
I feel like when I say I can handle it, it's because just how sometimes when I talk to you and we talk about media, we talk about stuff on social media, and you're like filtering through, like, I can't be on it too long. Like, it doesn't bother me, because I see what people are doing when they post stuff. So, like, I'm not necessarily like, oh my God, this is, you know, headline news right now. It's like, that's clickbait. They put that on there strategically. Like for me, it's all strategic. And so I see it that way. Like just how when I see TV shows or if I'm watching the news or just anything on TV, it's like, okay, it's strategic. Commercials, that's strategic, you know? Yeah. So when I say I can handle it, it's just I can filter through it. And it doesn't necessarily affect me because it's like, all right, Brittany, put the phone down. You got work to do. Whereas some people, it's like they just stuck in their phone because that's all they've known.
I think it is good. But one thing I will say, though, just to the conversation is, like, just as I said, the relationships and communication are important just as well as technology is important. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I still will go and read a book. Mm-hmm. It could be looking like reading an ebook, right? Mm-hmm. Or it could be me getting the physical book, or it could be an audio book. Sometimes it could be all the above, because I'll buy the audio book, I'll start listening to that, and I'm like, oh, I'm three chapters in. I enjoy this book. There's stuff I would like to highlight. Mm-hmm. Let me order the physical book. And then now I might go through the physical book while I'm also listening to the audiobook, because I've heard research say that you're more likely to retain information when you follow as it's like being read. But at the same time,
I don't know, maybe because we also did that when we were in school too.
Oh, follow silently while I read out loud. Okay. Yes. Read silently while I read out loud.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know, but I don't know. Is that a thing now? Are they still reading like that in class?
I don't know.
Because you know the reading level trap.
Oh, I'm glad that you said popcorn. They don't necessarily call on, well, I would say they don't let kids do, I don't want to say performative, but you know, go in front of the class like we used to do because of anxiety and people making fun of them. And it's like, man, we were in front of there. We had to read in front of everybody. You're going to sit there and read it. You got to do a presentation. You gotta go up there, do your PowerPoint, talk in front of the class. I mean, it builds character and it builds confidence. And the fact that they just want kids to just turn stuff in and be like,